Enjoy free online radio anywhere, anytime with Audless. It's your music, your way. Go to AUDILOUS on your device, download the app, and enjoy hours of your favorite music. Choose from country, rock, urban, worship, reggae, sports talk, and more, plus podcasts too. We're available on all mobile devices, and you can connect with us in your car, smart speaker and TVs, and tablets as well. And if you're at work, AUDILOUS.com. It's your music, your way. Audless.
Ladies and gentlemen.
The Leprechaun Connection post game show.
What are name our mother?
Ladies and gentlemen of Irish Nation, welcome to the Leprechaun Connection podcast. Mike and Sean here, your hosts. The email for the show is leprechaunconnection@gmail.com if you'd like to reach out to us. You can also visit our website at leprechaunconnection.com where you'll find a link to our Patreon and a link to donate to St. Jude. That's leprechaunconnection.com if you'd like to support the show. Welcome, lads and lasses. The Irish take care of business in Dublin by sinking the midshipman of the Naval Academy, 42-3. Mr. Sean, what's going on, my brother?
That was just a fun game to watch. That was a fun game to watch. That was a great way to open up the season. Sam Hartman looked sharp. He looked composed. He was very poised in the pocket. He made a couple of plays with his feet to get himself in a position to just throw absolute dimes. Audric Estime looked great. Jeremiah Love, Jabron Payne, Jadarian Price, everyone got some touches today. Jaden Greathouse, Jaden Thomas, Deion Colsey, all the people that you would like to see get touches on the offensive side of the ball got touches on the offensive side of the ball, and minimal mistakes. You know, there were a few, right? There were a couple, but it's the first game of the season. This is when you get those mistakes worked out. You know, you get things figured out, but overall, I mean, a very solid game on both sides of the ball for Notre Dame, and, you know, coming away with a very solid victory against Navy. And, you know, say what you will about Navy, I understand they have a new head coach. They, you know, they seem like a team that's trying to find their identity a bit. And people are like, well, of course, everyone's trying to find their identity in the first game of the season. Well, when you have a head coaching change, especially after, you know, Ken Niumatalolo, who's been there for a considerable amount of time, there's going to be a lot of times there's going to be a hangover into the regular season, you know? So that's kind of to be expected. But
I mean,
my God, I mean, some of these numbers, Sam Hartman, 19 for 23, 251 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks. That's
incredible.
That's an incredible stat line. And people are like, oh, he's a sixth year guy. That's to be expected. Yes, but that's the first game of the season with new receivers. Better, no offense to Wake Forest, better receivers than he had at Wake Forest.
He had a couple good ones still when he was there, but.
Oh, but I'm just saying, like, overall, the weapons he has here are better. But still, to get the timing, the chemistry, all that stuff down, and to be that dialed in for the first game of the season, that's just the mark of a veteran quarterback who knows how to go through camp, who knows how to establish, you know, that camaraderie, that belief, that trust in his teammates, and to, you know, to get on the same page. That's an excellent job of preparation for this typically very difficult Navy team to pin down and limit. So Sam Hartman looked great. He made a couple of plays with his feet to get himself out of trouble. One notably, I want to say it was the third quarter. I believe it was the second touch. Yeah, it was second touchdown pass he had to Jaden Greathouse. He got pressure, I mean, pretty much immediately after he dropped back, and he made a very nice adjustment with his footwork, kept his eyes downfield, and threw an absolute laser to Jaden Greathouse for a touchdown, and that in that particular situation.
Is that the one where he was throwing on the run and he threw it right before he got to the line of scrimmage?
Correct.
And he threw a laser.
Okay. He threw it on the run, on the money, on the numbers. And I mean, it was just, it was very well executed. It's what you expect from a veteran quarterback, as I said, you know,
exactly.
But he had some phenomenal throws. The other touchdown pass to Jaden Greathouse in stride. I mean, it was a little bit behind him, but it was in a position where he was going to catch it. Jaden Greathouse is going to catch it. That was how it was going to go. His touchdown pass to Jaden Thomas was a beautiful throw. It was a beautiful throw and catch. He had a pass to Deion Colsey to the right sideline as he was getting hit. I mean, he took a hit to the ribs. Hartman did. And delivered an absolute. It was on a rope to Colsey. And Colsey made a nice catch. And Hartman got up like it was business as usual. And it was the next play after that, I think, was the touchdown to Jaden Thomas. So, I mean, just very confident, well-executed offensive game plan against Navy. I think Gerard Parker should certainly get a pat in the back and attaboy for the preparation, because typically when we play Navy, you're going to get very limited offensive possessions. And we made the most of them. I want to say we scored touchdowns in the first five possessions that we had. That's amazing. I mean, we were up. Was it 42-0? It was 42-0, and Navy finally got a field goal.
Yeah, my prediction was 52-6.
Right.
So
not far off. Mine was, I gave Navy far too much credit. I think I had 49 or 48-24. So I wasn't far from what we were supposed to score, but I honestly thought the Navy was gonna put some points in the board, because that triple option attack is usually it's gonna get points and yards, but it just wasn't there today.
I'll be honest with you, dude. Navy really didn't look that bad. They didn't look terrible. They really didn't. I mean, they weren't like making.
They looked a little out of sync, but
they did. But they weren't like beating themselves. They weren't making stupid mistakes, and they weren't sloppy. They were there. You could tell that they're a very well disciplined, very well coached football team, and they got some guys. They got some guys that have speed.
Oh, they do.
They got, but they didn't look like, oh, this team is just absolute garbage, and they're just
no. But the one thing I did notice today that I have not seen on a Navy team in a long time, there was a lot of chippy trash talking. There was a lot of it. There, I mean, go back. I watched the game live, and I watched a replay just a little bit ago, and I was looking at it. Do you remember the play? I'm trying to remember when it occurred specifically in the game, but if you watch the game, you'll know what I'm talking about. There was Hartman threw a absolute rocket to Estime. It wasn't a very far pass, and Estime jumped and snagged it midair with one hand. And
oh, yes. Yes.
Right after that play, Estime gets up, the guy defending him, who made the tackle, got up, and he was immediately in Estime's ear, just talking. I mean, he was talking smack. That's absolutely what was going on. And Estime, he didn't really say much. He kind of said a couple things, but he didn't really say anything back to him. And the Navy guy's just chirping, following him as he's talking. And I'm like, that's uncharacteristic for a Navy team. And that wasn't the only time I saw it. I noticed that on multiple plays after the play was over. Now, I don't know if that was something that our guys, and that's the thing is, I don't know if our guys were throwing the first shot and we were just catching what happened after the fact. I wouldn't think so. Not from a Marcus Freeman coached team, you know, because they don't tolerate that either. And usually we have a good respect for Navy. It's a mutual respect. We don't usually have games like that with Navy, but I noticed on several plays, there were Navy players chirping at our guys, just getting in their ear, just talking, you know, trying to get under their skin, it seemed like. And I'm thinking, is this because of the score, or is this just overall frustration? Is it a lack of discipline on their side of the ball with the coaching change and everything like that? Because again, if that's a Ken Niumatalolo Navy team, the first time it happened, that guy's coming out,
Yeah, like I said, different head coach.
Right. Ken's gonna lay into him on the sideline.
Yeah.
And that kid's probably not coming back in the game.
Well,
for a while, if not at all.
What I was trying to say is, well, let's look at it in a different way. Maybe he wasn't trash talking. Maybe he was saying, hey, man, that was a really good catch, dude. How'd you do that? That was really awesome, man. You're a really good player, bro. Maybe it was that. I doubt
that's,
it. But...
That's a very optimistic way to look at it, but I'm telling you, go back and watch the play. I know, you're kidding, but go back and watch that play specifically that I'm talking about, and you'll be like,
oh, you'll see it, yeah, for sure.
Oh, that, he wasn't saying nice things. That was, whoo. Yeah, overall, offensively, I want to say we ended up with over 400 yards of total offense.
You'd be correct.
6 touchdowns. I mean, you can't ask for much more. Offensively, we looked very good.
I'm saying, dude, I was very impressed with Sam Hartman. I was blown away. I knew this guy would be legit. I knew he would have the experience. I knew that he wouldn't make a lot of sloppy mistakes. I knew that we would have a very well-rounded quarterback. There was a few plays that only veteran quarterbacks, you know, make, and we haven't seen this type of a quarterback in a long time, right? Brady Quinn years, maybe.
Yes, I would agree.
This guy, I'm really impressed with Sam Hartman. Yeah, I understand it was Navy, and the talent level, the competition level isn't there, but again, it's one of those teams that if you're not playing your best, Navy can get you. You know, they can fool you, trick you with all these trick plays and these misdirections and these weird formations. And, you know, they're not
going to shorten the game.
Yeah. And they can
shorten the game.
Well,
usually.
Yeah. Well, speaking of shortening the game, is one of the things I want to talk about. They got some new rules this year. If you noticed, they mentioned in the broadcast as well, mm-hmm. about the clock keeps rolling after a first down unless it's within the 2 minutes of the half of the
correct
second. Yeah, which I'm fine with that. I'm so sick and tired of like these games just taking forever. The clock stopped again. What are we doing? Come on. We're looking at this, we're looking at that. I like it. Let's go, keep it moving, let's go, come on. And so I like it. I mean, do you think that's a good rule change? I mean, there was a couple rule changes, but that's the one that pops in my head first. What do you think?
I think you know, it's certainly going to help with game flow and keeping things moving. I honestly think that kind of plays to – it doesn't allow any more for an advantage for a team that is the underdog. And the reason why I say that is because if a team's trying to mount to come back against, you know, a higher-ranked team or someone that they have no business, you know, beating or were projected to, you know, be – the underdog by 20 points or something like that, that can be the great equalizer, because if those teams go into a prevent defense and you're able to pick up first down, the clock stops, you reset, you get a breather, you get your play in, you're good to go. So from that standpoint, I kind of look at it as, well, you know, you're kind of playing more to the favorite in the game, in my humble opinion. It doesn't bother me either way. Football is football. You know, if I'm watching it for, you know, 5 hours or 3.5, it's still football. You know, I don't, football's back. I really don't care. I mean, I don't know if it was a necessary rule change, but it's a change they made. It is what it is.
You also can't call two consecutive timeouts back to back.
Now
you can't I try to ice the kicker.
Right. Well, you can, but you have to get your timeout in first. And Navy took a timeout before their kick, so Notre Dame could not take a timeout after the fact. Okay. So that, I mean, that's something that you can do too. If you want to get your team set and, you know, for this field goal attempt, you can take a preemptive timeout, and then that other team has no chance of taking a timeout to ice your kicker whatsoever, because you can't take consecutive. The way I understand it, perhaps I'm wrong. I don't know if it means that, or if it's you can't take, the same team can't take consecutive timeouts.
I think that's what it is.
I guess I'd need some clarification on that.
Yeah,
I would have. So to if look, it's I if it's not
it in front of me,
Right. If it's so, if the team that's taking the field goal, let's say Navy's taking a field goal, and the rule is that Notre Dame cannot take consecutive timeouts. Okay, I understand that. That's fine. If it's that you cannot have consecutive timeouts, period, then that, I mean, that certainly seems to play into the advantage of the team that has the ball, because they ultimately control it then. If they decide to take a timeout and the other team can't take one in succession right after it. So there's no more, hey, we took a timeout, and then you come out and line up on the field, you get a look at the defense, and then you take a timeout. So I haven't had a chance to really read into that rule enough to have an opinion, I guess. But I'll have to do that and see if that brings further clarification.
All right, so let's talk about this Notre Dame defense against the midshipmen. There was some of the concerns that I had. I saw a lot of missed tackles. That was a little bit of concerning, but I think those are easily fixable in practice with watching film. Jack Kaiser led the defense with 8 total tackles and 6 solos, and right behind him was Maris Lufau with 7. Now, like,
Jack Kaiser looked good. J.D. Bertrand looked really good.
Yes, he did.
Maris Lufau, John
Baptiste, he had a tackle for loss. He looked pretty good too.
He had 4 total and 2 solo tackles, and yeah, he had a tackle for loss. Yeah, Kaiser should have had a fumble recovery off a great hit by Maris Lufau.
Yeah, I didn't see that on the stats, and it surprised me.
Well, because they overturned it.
Oh, that's right.
They said it was either his foot or his knee was touching the white chalk and was out of bounds. Oh. I mean, it was a bang bang play. Great heads up play by Lufau. Great awareness by Kaiser, because I mean, he was right there. No one else was going to recover that but Jack Kaiser. But overall, I mean, defensively, we held Navy to 126 yards rushing. Do you know the last time we held Navy to that kind of number for a rushing total?
Can't wait to hear it.
I don't know. I'm going to put it to you this way. I looked back over the past 20 years.
126 yards rushing.
The last 20 years, back to 2003. And after that, I stopped looking. So I'm like, I don't have this kind of time. You know, 20 years, we have never held Navy to that low a rushing total for total rushing yards in a game. Not once. I think the closest we got to it was like 166 yards we held them to 1 year. And that includes the years that we made the college football playoff, where we went undefeated, where we played in the national championship game. We never held Navy to this small a rushing total.
What was the box? What was the stats for the 2012 game in Ireland?
Off the top of my head, I don't know, but same thing. I mean,
I don't know who would have that off the top of their head.
Right. I was like,
it'd be pretty crazy.
So,
it was more of a general question.
Right. If you give me a second, I'll actually pull it up because that was one of the first ones I checked, was that in like 2018. And it, as I said, I mean, it wasn't close. Navy always gets their yards, you know, they're always going to get their yards. So Navy in 2012 against us in Ireland, 149 yards
rushing.
So that was, I think that was the next lowest total. I was mistaken. Yeah. But still, we held them to 23 fewer yards this time than we did then. And we beat them 50-10 that year. So, I mean, that's just a testament to the kind of rushing attack that Navy has. They're always top 5, top 10 in rushing. Always. Because that's what they do. They run the ball. They don't throw the ball. So to hold a Navy team to that low a total, that's impressive to me. That's very impressive. And keep in mind, I mean, yes, we had some missed tackles. There are some things we can polish up. It was raining out there. It was really, really slick. There were a couple of rushing plays where running backs were making cuts and they didn't make the cut because they slipped and they fell instead. So I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt a little bit in that regard, because there were a couple of times where I'm like, why are we not wrapping up? And the more I'm looking at it, I'm like, it's kind of hard to wrap up.
Yeah, that's true.
When it's that wet outside and everybody's slipping and sliding and stuff like that. I mean, we need to do a little bit better with the fundamentals as far as tackling goes to be a little more sure-handed. But we were in position to make those plays. We had great positioning plays in almost every instance on the defensive side of the ball. There were a couple of times when Navy decided to pass, and we were out of position, which kind of surprised me because we've got great corners. You know, one of their passing plays, two naval wide receivers ran into one another. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing, too, because they would have had a completion down to our 12 and had a first down. But on another such passing play, it was a downfield passing play. Our DB didn't turn his head around. If he would have turned his head around, it would have been an interception.
Yeah,
it would have been. He the ball was underthrown. He was in a good position. He's never turned around. So, you know, small things that need to be worked on. Absolutely. But overall, the stat line, I mean, the way this went on the defensive side of the ball, we gave up a field goal. I'm okay with that.
Towards the end of the game, late fourth quarter.
That was a pride field goal. Okay. Right. Navy probably should have gone for it there just to try and get a touchdown on the board, but they're like, nope, we're going to take points just so we don't get shut out, which, okay, fine. You know, but Riley Mills had a couple of tackles and a sack, a pretty notable sack. And was that fourth quarter? It was for like a 15 or 17 yard loss. it was a really nice play. Gabriel Rubio, he had some pressure. He had some good quarterback pressures, this game as well. So, I mean, overall, I don't have too much to complain about on the defensive side of the ball. Had some good hits. As I said, JD Bertrand, Maris Lufau, Jack Kaiser, Howard Cross the third. I mean, all did what kind of we expected them to do. They dominated at the point of attack.
Yep. All right. So we need to step aside here for a moment. Getting your music your way has never been easier with Audilus. Search AUDILOUS on your device and select your station or podcast from rock, country, top 40, hip-hop, and more. With 17 different stations to choose from, Audilus is your place for FM-sounding radio with fewer commercials. Now, with those other music services, we're all tired of being forced to hear so many ads without paying for a subscription, right? Well, Audilus might be what you're looking for. Search AUDILOUS in the Google or Apple Store today and enjoy free premium radio and podcasts right at your fingertips. Audilus, your music, your way. And you can catch this podcast on the Audilus Radio app. So go ahead and check that out, folks. All right, so Sean, special teams were kind of concerning with the kicking game.
You know, I understand that it's a new season. We've got new personnel. That the kicking game, I mean, all the extra points were made, so that's reassuring. I'm not going to hit the panic button, not at all. But it's the field goal that we did attempt. That was attempted by Spencer Schrader. It didn't look good. It didn't look good. He had plenty of leg, plenty of distance. That wasn't the concern. But it went about 15 yards right. It was
first game.
It was not close. And I hope that's what it was. Again,
it happens.
In watching the replay, I think I actually missed that play in particular because I wanted to look to see if it was a mishandled snap or if he slipped a little bit with his plant leg, because I mean, it went right before it went forward almost. I mean, it went right off the bat. That needs to get figured out pretty quickly because we are going to be in games where that is going to be an essential. That's going to be important. We've got to be able to make kicks from range. And this kid has the leg to do it. He's got to get the accuracy down. Even in the spring game, we had some concerns about what we were going to do at the kicker at that position.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm sure it's something that Marcus Freeman and company are going to take a long look at and, you know, do whatever they have to do to remedy. I'm just looking at his field goal statistics for his career. And let's see. He transferred to us this year. So he's a senior. He's a fifth-year kid. His field goal percentage from 2019 through 2022 is as follows. By season, 44% in 2019, he was 4 for 9. 66% in 2020, he was 4 for 6. 2021 was his best season by far. He was 11 for 13. If we've got someone kicking 11 for 13, we're good. We are in good hands. 2022, he took a bit of a step back. He was 9 for 13. Now, he has a leg, like I said. I mean, he's got long converted kicks of 49, 52 yards. So, I mean, he's got the leg for it. It's got to just be an accuracy thing is my guess. So I hope they really get that figured out quickly, because we've got a little bit of time before we face, you know, the meat and potatoes of our schedule. But you don't want to be figuring this out the week of Ohio State.
Right.
You know, you've got to get this shored up and figured out well before then, because you don't want this to be an issue when you get to that game. Just my opinion. Otherwise, special teams, I mean, we didn't see a lot today. Navy kicked off to us, I think, just a couple times. So, I mean, punt returns, kick returns. Jabron Payne had two kick returns for 41 yards, 20.5 yard return average. Chris Tyree had one punt return for 11 yards. No issues there. The only other thing that I was going to point out, there were two fumbles. It was Audric Estime and Tyree, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. Yeah, it was Audric Estime and Chris Tyree that had fumbles. But Audric Estime, it wasn't, I don't know a good way to put this, it wasn't a terrible fumble, procedurally speaking. The naval defender came in at just a good angle and threw a good punch and knocked the ball out. Chris Tyree also missed a touchdown by an eyelash. It actually set up a scoring play for us, I think a play or two later. But he, you know, out of the from the snap, he ran out of the slot. He ran a nice route. He was open. Hartman threw a ball, I mean, on the money to him, and he got hit about a full half second to a second before the ball got there. But he was right at the goal line. He would have scored a touchdown. It was instead called defensive pass interference. It gave us a first down and I think the 14-yard line. And I believe, like I said, the next player play after, we end up scoring as a result of it. So Tyree looked good playing out of the slot as well. There were very few things that I can look at and take away from this game and be like, wow, we really need to work on this. Overall, it was a good game to watch. It was a fun game to watch.
I unfortunately wasn't able to watch the whole thing. I was able to catch a little bit of it because I was on a little mini vacation with the family. But I was very impressed with what I did see. And I'm very, very excited. And by seeing the performance of the offense, by seeing the performance of Sam Hartman, it really makes me really more and more excited for this season and how... I mean, the competition, I think it gets a little worse going into next week. But we will have our pregame show or our matchup preview show for that on Thursday or Friday, depending on the time that we're able to record that. But definitely by Friday, we will have a matchup preview show for Tennessee State. Now, let's see here. Speaking of Tennessee State, that is obviously the home opener. That'll be our first tailgate of the season. You'll get to see my handsome face out there, you know, setting up. And hopefully we will get, I think we'll have at least one of our other members out there that'll be helping me set up. We'll be set up about 8 o'clock in the morning right across the street from the Notre Dame softball field, right behind Ivy Court at the corner of Twickenham and Angela. And I think that's pretty much where we plan to be for all of our future tailgates, unless certain, you know, unless things change. But as of right now, that's pretty much going to be where we're at going to be where we're going to be at permanently. Unfortunately, we will not be broadcasting the podcast there for the home opener. And we will eventually be doing that. We'll try to get the an on location broadcast for the Ohio State and USC tailgates. But our tailgates are, as of right now, we're going to be tailgating the home opener, Clemson and USC and Ohio State. Those will be our home tailgate locations. Watch parties will definitely have a watch party for Clemson. So stay tuned to our Facebook page and this broadcast to kind of see where we're going to be at for those. We like to pick a local business. We do. We here really support the local businesses in the South Bend, Mishawaka area. So it'll be in the Mishawaka, South Bend area for that for sure. We're definitely going to have one for that. For other watch parties, I mean, it's hard to get a watch party together for an away game that starts at noon on a Saturday. So we won't be doing anything for that one, but definitely Clemson. So stay tuned for that. And again, any other night games that are away, I don't even think those have been posted yet, but you can pretty much bet that Clemson, Notre Dame, even though the time hasn't been announced yet, you can pretty much bet that that will be a night game on ABC or ESPN, I'm sure. Do you want to talk briefly about this matchup next week? I mean, we're going to go into it in the preview show,
it's an Eddie George coach team. Eddie George had, you know, a good collegiate career, a very good professional career.
Right.
I admittedly don't know a whole lot about Eddie George as a head coach. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, this is going to be hard to research because,
well, it'd be the first time we've played an FCS team in the regular season. And if I'm not mistaken, are they a historically black college?
I don't know. That's a good thing to look into. I thought I heard that.
I might be mistaken, but I thought they were a historically black collegiate university. I thought I heard that mentioned before.
Kind of like a Grambling and there's.
I believe so.
Yeah.
So we're welcoming Tennessee State. It'll be the home opener. The home opener is always a good time. If you can make it out, we could be playing, you know, Battle Creek Central High School. It's still going to be a good time because it's the home opener in South Bend, in the house that Rockne built, around 80,000 fans just having a great time after a big, decisive win over Navy. Hopefully our guys get, you know, plenty of rest. They're not flying back tonight. They're going to stay there tonight, and they're flying back tomorrow. Try and reduce the jet lag, which smart move. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of give them an extra day rest when they return. You know, some people are like, "Oh, you got to get back to practice right away." You do, and I'm not saying take Tennessee State lightly, not at all. But the jet lag and the adjustment to the time zones—that's a real thing. That takes 24 to 48 hours, and if you get behind the eight ball with that and you stay behind the eight ball all week, you're going to have a really tired, out of sync team by the time Saturday rolls around. So I think it's a smart move by the coaching staff. And I think they're going to be ready. I think they're going to be absolutely amped up for the home opener and the official introduction in front of a capacity South Bend Notre Dame crowd of one Sam Hartman.
Yeah. To answer your question, yes, to Tennessee State. They are a part of the HBCU UP, which is the historically black colleges and universities undergraduate program, which is funded by the National Science Foundation. So, yes, to answer your question. That to me is, I say it's a really good thing for Notre Dame to do. For one, you got the connection, you got the Ohio State alum, you know, both coaching these programs, right? Which is kind of funny. I don't know. It's not really that funny, but so you got the respect thing there. You know, you got the connection there, and you know, it's pretty well known that when Notre Dame schedules these lower competition schools, where you're not doing like a home and an away matchup like with the ACC schools and whoever else, but when you're bringing in like a MAC school or a school from like the Western Athletic Conference or something like that, they always, Notre Dame always gives them a nice paycheck to come in to play us, and to, they get, you know, they get wined and dined, to get, you know, nice hotel, you know, set up and all that kind of stuff. And so I think this is a really good way. This is a good payday for the school. Cause I think, what was the last number that I saw? I think a lot of the schools get like 1.1 or 1.2 million to come to play at Notre Dame Stadium, to be on national TV. So I think this is a good, this is good for the program, even though I'm not a big fan of, I did like the fact that Notre Dame and USC, two big rivals in college football, were the only two schools that have never played an FCS school. But, you know, we can't say that anymore.
Yeah. I was kind of,
I do like the idea of it, you know, because with this, you know, it's a FCS school. You got the whole, you got the connection, the respect thing with Freeman and Eddie George. They're, you know,
and that's, and it, just it. That'll make for an interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
Going into that game. I mean, this is not meant as any disrespect to Tennessee State.
Yes, it is.
No. I mean, truly, I don't have any issue with Eddie George. I always thought he was kind of a class act. Player. I mean, should it be a competitive game? You know, if Notre Dame plays the way that we played today against Navy, no, it really shouldn't be a very competitive game, you know, pretty quickly. But we cannot take them lightly.
Right.
Regardless, we cannot take them lightly because, again, Eddie George has played in very big games at every level. So he is going to know everything that he needs to pass on to his team to have them game ready. You know, the talent level should be the biggest difference in this, the talent and the depth, and just making sure we go into this game healthy. That's the other thing. I didn't hear about any notable injuries as a result of this game, so that's really good news. And our offensive line looked dominant. They looked very, very good in this game against Navy. So hopefully that cohesiveness can continue as well. Rocco Spindler looked great in the game today. Everyone looked solid. So looking forward to next week and looking forward to the Irish opening up at home and going to 2-0.
Yes, sir. All right, folks, if you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate, review, tell a friend, tell a neighbor. We sincerely appreciate it. Also, please check out our Patreon. Just go to patreon.com and search Leprechaun Connection. It's just $3 a month. And it's just for general support. It does help keep this podcast going, and it helps fund tailgates and watch parties. Before we get out of here, Sean, any final thoughts before we say bye-bye?
Just stay healthy. Get back to the grind after a day or two of rest. Get ready for Tennessee State and come on out to the tailgate. Mike's going to be grilling up some tasty stuff out there.
Yep.
I believe, what'd you say, burgers and dogs?
Yeah, burgers and Hebrew National hot dogs, folks. Those are, you got Nathan's, you got Hebrew National. They're probably, you know, the top two brand of hot dogs. So
Hebrew National is just, they're money. They're so good.
It's the epitome of what a hot dog should be.
Amen. Amen. So come on out to the tailgate. Come visit Mike. I wish I could make it, but I can't make it this weekend, but come on out, hang out with us, you know, have some food, have some laughs, and you will always have the opportunity as well, if you feel so inclined, to make a donation to St. Jude. And what better cause is there than to donate to those who, you know, certainly need it. You know, they could certainly use your help. Any and every dollar that we raise for St. Jude's goes directly to help children and families in need through the St. Jude's Children's Hospital.
That actually reminds me. If you'd like to make a donation to St. Jude, you can go to our website, leprechaunconnection.com, and you'll find a link. And it'll take you right to our landing page on the St. Jude website. You can make a donation on our behalf. You can do it anonymously. You can sign your name to it, whatever. And we'll definitely take cash donations at the tailgate if you would like to do it that way. But the best way is just to do it right online. And it's right on our landing page on the St. Jude website. And that would be the easiest way. But speaking of that, I just do want to read this real quick. Thanks to donors like you, no family ever receives a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food, because all a family should worry about is helping their child live. Treatments invented at St. Jude have helped push the overall child cancer survival rate from 20% to more than 80% since it opened more than 50 years ago. And on behalf of the St. Jude and the Leprechaun Connection, we sincerely thank you for all of your generous donations. And if you'd like to donate to St. Jude, just like I said, hit up our website, leprechaunconnection.com. So
last thing I was going to say about that.
Yeah, please do.
Plenty of groups are out there that host tailgates, parties, events, things like that. And, you know, they have cornhole, they barbecue, they all do their own thing. But I'm going to ask you, how many groups try to make a difference in the lives of others? How many groups try to make sure that you take care of those in need? Take a look at the groups that you associate with, that you, you know, the parties that you attend, the things that you do. And if that group isn't doing something to help others in need, maybe stop and ask yourself, why? Mm-hmm. Why aren't more groups doing that? It's not to toot our own horn. It's just, we feel compelled to help those in need. We feel compelled to help those who need it most. So if you'd like to donate to a great cause, please do. Go to our website, go to our Facebook page. It's everywhere. That was all I got. Mike, you ready to wrap this up?
Yeah, and last year we did the whole pie in the face thing. That was a pretty good turnout. So probably in the next year or two, and that's, you know, when our schedules aren't so crazy, we can do something like that again, because that was a lot of fun.
That was. The
whole pie in the face for St. Jude. So hopefully we'll be able to do that in years to come. But unfortunately, we're taking it easy this year, folks. All right. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. Visit our Facebook page to stay on top of everything Irish. To our friends here in the Michiana area, and to all our friends across Irish Nation, guys, we thank you so much for listening. For Sean, I'm Mike McClure. Join us here and next time right here on the Leprechaun Connection podcast. Go Irish.
Go Irish.